need the brain stimulator. And it went on that way for several hours more, while the northern lights weaved and glimmered in the darkening sky. Tabalera bore his mother's tears and recriminations without reply, without argument. She's right in her own way, he thought. I should have been here to help her when she needed me. But the bastards never even told me about Pop until it was all over, and even then they wouldn't let me go back home. He felt anger simmering inside him. Anger at them, the nameless, faceless people who had been running his life since he'd graduated school. They sent him all the way to Jupiter. They damned near got him killed out there. Now they were going to dunk him into the goddamned Gulf of Mexico and make a construction jock out of him. His mother finally ran out of tears and indignation. He went with her upstairs, saw her to her bedroom, and then stepped across the hallway to the room that had been his for as long as he could remember. He closed the door and went to the window. Outside, the northern lights still flickered and shimmered in the dark night sky. What's making them do that? Tabalera wondered. Then the thought suddenly struck him. Is this why they want us indoors all night? They don't want us to see the lights? Chapter 5. The appeals board was in the same building as the Office of Employment Allocation, which made some sense to Tabalera, since the board was there to straighten out problems that arose in the OEA's assignments. So instead of reporting for work the next morning, Tabalera informed Beauregard's cheerful red-headed assistant that he was putting in an appeal, then spent the morning working his way through the layers of bureaucracy that made up the appeals board, trying to get them to cancel his assignment to the New Orleans Restoration Project. No dice. You should fall on your knees and thank the good Lord that you're being allowed to contribute to this blessed program. That was the kindest response he got. The Army needs men with your technical training, said one, a flinty-eyed old graybeard. When I was your age, I did 3 tours in the Sudan, kid. Everyone else gave him a variation of, that's your assignment and you're stuck with it, be grateful we don't send you to some inner-city slum or a swamp-clearing project in Haiti. One self-important desk jockey gave Tabalera a crafty look as he warned, troublemakers get troubles, young man. Feeling frustrated and getting truculent, Tabalera grumbled, I can handle troubles. Can you? I see from your file that your mother is on medical assistance. How would you like to see her prescriptions for medications canceled, her stimulator taken away from her? You can't do that! With a shrug and a reptilian smile, the bureaucrat replied, Of course I can't. That would be illegal and immoral. But what? Another shrug. Her file could be lost, or her prescriptions suspended, pending a complete medical review of her case. Tabalera fought down the urge to leap over the man's desk and strangle him. Reluctantly, grudgingly, he reported back to the Restoration Project office that afternoon after lunch and began his new career. But night after night, the skies glowed with the northern lights, and night after night the police declared an emergency and ordered everyone to stay indoors during the hours of darkness. The small brass plaque by the double doors of the red-brick 4-story building modestly proclaimed, KLRA-TV, the eyes and ears of Greater Little Rock. The words were encircled by the twining palm-bough symbol of the new morality. Tabalera remembered that before he'd left for his public service duty in space, all the television stations in the state had been combined into a single network under the management of the new morality. There had been some objections at the time, soreheads and alarmists complaining about the separation of church and state and freedom of expression, but the system seemed to be working. The complaints had been silenced. The commuter line that served the Restoration Project had a station stop right in front of the KLRA-TV building. As he rode home after his workday finished, Tabalera reacted to a sudden impulse and got off the maglev train at the TV station's stop. He walked toward the station's front doors while the train whisked itself away in a whisper. The northern lights had been flickering in the sky for 4 nights in a row, but he could find no mention of it on the news. And each night the police enforced the temporary emergency procedures that kept everyone indoors until dawn. Maybe Andy knows something about it, he thought. His older brother was an administrator of some sort at the TV center. Maybe he knew what was going on. What bothered Tavalera most, as he strode up the walkway to the building's front entrance, was that nobody seemed to mind being forced to stay indoors night after night. True, there had been tremendous thunderstorms the past two nights, torrential downpours streaked with terrifying bolts of lightning. Electrical power had been knocked out for hours at a time, but neither his mother nor any of his new co-workers at the restoration project saw anything unusual in that.
Springtime comes earlier now, his mother had said when he'd remarked on the storms. We always get downpours in the spring. Be happy the good Lord hasn't sent us any tornadoes.
During lunch at the cafeteria in the restoration project office, he had asked about the power outages.
Hey, don't complain. It used to be a lot worse, said one of his fellow technicians between bites of a pathetically thin sandwich. When they first put up the emergency housing projects for the flood fugitives, we could go without power for days. 2 weeks one time.
Everybody seemed to accept whatever was handed to them, Tavalera thought. They're like a bunch of sheep. He remembered the fierce political contests that raged in Habitat Goddard as it orbited Saturn. Of course, Goddard's people were mostly malcontents, troublemakers who'd been exiled from their homes on Earth because they were misfits. And scientists. Scientists are always ready to argue about anything, he knew. Was it this way before I went into space? He asked himself. Thinking back more than 6 years, Tavalera figured that maybe it was, but he just didn't take notice of it. People's passivity seemed kind of normal back then, but now, after being really free on Goddard, he realized that most of the people around him were sheep, including his mother. People were leaving the KLRA building. It was the end of the workday for them, too. Tavalera hoped that Andy hadn't gone yet. As he came within arm's length of the smoked glass double doors, his brother pushed through, heading out. Andy! His brother couldn't have looked more surprised if a fire-breathing dragon had suddenly materialized before him. His round, bland face went white. His soft brown eyes flashed wide for a moment, then narrowed. Frown lines creased his forehead.
Raleigh, what are you doing here?
Making himself smile, Tavalera said, I came to see you, pal. Andy was dressed in a collarless, pale yellow jacket and crisply creased dark brown chinos. His thinning hair was carefully combed forward over his high forehead. Tavalera felt almost shabby in his flapping tan shirt, jacket, and shapeless jeans.
You can see me at my house, Raleigh, any time.
Yeah, I know. How's Mildred? I didn't see her at the party.
She had to stay home. One of the kids had the flu or something.
Oh, I hope he's okay now.
She? Yeah, she's fine. Kids can scare the devil out of you, though.
Andy looked suspicious, wary.
So what are you doing here, Raleigh?
I just thought it'd be fun to see where you work. I've never seen the inside of a TV station. Andy glanced at the steady stream of people leaving the building and pulled Tavalera to one side of the walkway.
You can't go inside the building, he said in a low, tense voice. Security, you know.
Security?
The first thing terrorists go after is the news media, Andy said.
But that was a long time ago, before we were even born. There hasn't been a terrorist attack.
Because we're always on guard against them, Andy said forcefully. Always on guard.
Tavalera thought about the security cameras that had been mounted in every home. They're always on guard, all right, he said to himself. They're watching every move we make, 24/7.
Just last month they caught a plot to blow up one of the power satellites, Andy went on. That could have knocked out electrical power from Tennessee to Texas.
With a shake of his head, Tavalera said, I didn't know you'd be so uptight about security.
We're still at war, you know, Andy retorted. We're fighting terrorism all around the globe.
To Tavalera, his brother's words sounded like a slogan that he'd memorized. Shrugging, he said, Well, if I can't go in, I can't go in.
You could apply for a visitor's pass, Andy suggested, more reasonably. Might take a couple of weeks to check you out, though.
Tavalera nodded glumly. Yeah, maybe I'll do that. Brightening, his brother said,
And then I'll give you the grand tour of the place.
Great. They started walking toward the maglev train stop on the elevated station. Half a dozen people were already up there on the platform, waiting, with more climbing the stairs.
Tavallero recognized the redhead who worked in Beauregard's office as she passed him.